Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I've come today to put the blood of Jesus on the coronavirus. Amen. I come to declare the blood of Jesus over this thing that has put hearts in the fear of people. There's something about pleading the blood. When I was a kid, I didn't understand it because they always plead the blood. They had a little shake with it, like they grab it, and I just didn't understand it. But I know one thing. As I've studied the Word of God, I understand there's power in the blood of Jesus. And today, we plead the blood of Jesus over this virus. We plead the blood of Jesus over our country, over our city, over the countries of this earth. And we thank you that the healing balm of Gilead has been applied to our hearts, and we are the healed of the Lord, and no weapon formed against us can prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Take your Bibles and go with me to Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up the Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I've come to declare to you and I that we have an everlasting covenant with the blood of Jesus. When you begin to read the Word of God, you'll see that God made a covenant with Abram. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Moses. He made a covenant with David. And in Joshua 1 and verse 4, it says, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I also be with you. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give to them. It is an everlasting covenant. God says, as I was with Moses, Joshua, I'll be with you. As I was with that generation, I'll be with your generation. And I want you to know something. God says, I'll be with you in your generation. God is with us in this time that we live in. God is with us, and his word is for us. Moses could do what Joshua could not do. Moses got water from a rock enough to feed millions of people, to quench the thirst of millions of people. Joshua did what Moses couldn't do. Moses couldn't get the people into the promised land, but Joshua took them into the promised land. And I want you to know something. There's a call of God inside of us. There's something released in us from the kingdom of heaven. For such a time as this, you and I have been brought into the kingdom. And I want you to know it's an everlasting covenant. The same God that was with Moses, the same God that was with Joshua, is the same God that is you and I. And there's nothing the enemy can do with that. Amen. This is our time, and God is with us. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 9, I think it would be good for us to read Deuteronomy 28 and just declare that over our homes and over our lives. It shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which the Lord God commands you this day, the Lord thy God will set you on high above the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee and be smitten before your face. Then they shall go out against thee one way and flee thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thy storehouses, and in all thou settest thy hands to do, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord God has given you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people to himself, and has swore unto thee, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. It is an everlasting covenant for the kingdom of heaven. It's a blessing that God has released over our lives, and you and I got to make up our minds that we are going to stand in the blessing of God. We will not be consumed with fear. We will not cower down. We're not going to back down. We're not going to submit ourselves to fear and being overtaken with fear when God has said, you're blessed wherever you go, whatever you do. You're blessed. Revelation 12, 10, 11. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of the Christ have come, for the accuser of the brother who accused them before God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. What is he saying? It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood over the doorposts of our heart that gives us the confidence to stand and declare, no weapon formed against us will prosper. I love the old song. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, God has applied the blood to our hearts. And Jesus said every time the blood was shed, it was for the healing of something. You begin to look through the Word of God and you'll see seven times where Jesus shed his blood. Seven different places from where Jesus shed his blood. And every time Jesus shed his blood, it was for the healing of something. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And when that blood began to go into that ground, what Adam lost in the garden, Jesus recovered in the garden. It was our will. It was the will of God. It was our will. And God says, I want to heal your will. I want to give you a will to live. I want to give you a will to fight. I want to give you a will to know that my God is greater than anything that could come in my path. I got a mind to serve Christ. I got a mind to praise God. My will has been submitted to the kingdom of God, and I trust him with everything. Adam transgressed by putting his will above God's will. But Jesus said, I want to give you a healing so that you could trust me to put my will above your own will, so that you can walk in faith and confidence to know that God is with you and God is for you. They pulled out his beard and his face. And your Bible tells us that they beat his face beyond recognition. In Isaiah 50 and verse 5, the Lord has opened my ear. And I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those that pulled up my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and from spitting. His face was beaten, unrecognizable, and Jesus provided healing for my image. So many people don't have a right image of who they are. They're still living in guilt and shame and still living in doubt and unbelief. When God says, I've given my face to be unrecognizable so that you can lift your face to me and know that I am with you and your image is in Christ Jesus. It's not in this world. It's not in your past failures. It's not in your mistakes and everything that has happened in your childhood. It's in the image of God, who now you are a child of the Most High God. Most people have a wrong image. They whip Jesus' back. The Bible says that they stripped the flesh from his back, and the stripes was for the healing of our bodies. His stripes were for the healing of our bodies. The blood of Jesus was shed for the healing of our bodies. Therefore, we have a right to stand before him and to lift our hands and declare, I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. He healeth all of my diseases. Psalm 103 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who heals all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. This was the stripes. This is where Jesus shed, took the stripes upon his back for the healing of our bodies. They took a crown of thorns and they pressed it down upon his head. And that crown of thorns began to pierce his skull, and blood flowed from his head. This was for the healing of our minds. This was to enable us to walk in healing of our minds. No anxiety, no stress, no drama, no depression. Our minds have been healed by the blood of Jesus. When they put that crown of thorns upon his head, it gave us the mind of Christ. And now you and I can know we are the healed of the Lord. They put his hands upon that cross and they nailed him in his hands. They drove spikes down through his hands and blood flowed out of his hands to tell you and I that the work of our hands is blessed. That every place you put your hands, the blessing flows. It's not the curse that flows out of you. There's no curse in you. You say, well, maybe this virus. I'm telling you what, that virus has to bow its knee to the hand of the living God. And everywhere you go, every time you put your hand on something, the blessing flows from you. It's not the cursing, it's the blessing. Because Jesus shed his blood through his hands. Amen. They placed nails upon his feet. Every place that you and I go, wherever we go, the Bible tells us that we have dominion. We have dominion over destruction. We have dominion over the lies of the enemy. We can declare the truth of God's word. And everywhere I go, the blessing follows me. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I am the blessed of the Lord. And wherever my feet go, the blessing goes with me. And the enemy has to flee. I'm trying to get it into your mind that you are the healed of the Lord and no weapon formed against you can prosper. And everywhere you go, you carry the blessing. You're not a carrier of the virus. You're a carrier of the blessing. And if the virus comes into your household, you take authority over it and declare, no, devil. Amen. They pierced his side. And the Bible tells us that out of his side, blood and water flowed. We have been called to fellowship with Christ. We are fellowshipping with Jesus, and he's provided an access for us to get alongside of him. And wherever we go, he goes with us. He opens doors that only he can open. He opens windows that only he can open. And he says, hey, I'm providing for you. Because out of my side, blood and water flowed out. We are called to be in fellowship with Christ. Every day, every minute of every hour, you walk with Jesus, you talk with Jesus, you fellowship with Jesus, and he's your great strength, he's your great provider. And no way in the world can we let the devil put fear on us. He heals my desires, he heals my image, he heals my body, he heals my mind, he heals my work of my hands and my walk. He brings fellowship in the kingdom. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Faith and fear can't work together. They can't operate the same heart. This is not a time for the church to cower down. This is a time for the church to rise up. This is a time for the church to be strong. Keep a smile on your face. Keep a dance in your step. Keep a joy in your heart, because your God is greater. Listen, fear and concern are not the same thing. And don't let people put that on you because you have concern and because you're taking precautions, because you're home watching online right now. Don't let people put that, like that's fear. You're using wisdom, and wisdom is not the enemy of fear. You understand? And it's like, you know what? You're walking in that peace that you have. And I just speak it to you. Peace God gives you. The peace that he gives you will never leave you. It's not a bad thing to have concern in our hearts, but our concern should drive us to faith. Our concern should drive us to faith. It should stir us to stand up and square our shoulders back and know in the God in whom we believe in. It's not time to cower down and, oh God, what if we get more bad news tomorrow? Well, if we get more bad news tomorrow, we open the good book and find more good news tomorrow. Why? Because God is the author of the good. He's not the author of the bad. Light always overpowers darkness. Good always overtakes fear. Life always conquers more than death. Come on. It's not sometimes. It's always. God is life. John 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It couldn't even understand it. What? That we've got joy in the middle of all this, that they shut down everything all around us, but we still go to the house of the Lord. We still watch the house of the Lord. We're still connected to the house of the Lord. Why? Because what can separate me from the love of Christ Jesus? Height, depth, principalities, powers, nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ Jesus. I know in whom I believe, and he is more than able to care for me. Amen. Amen. Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord, do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. How many know he's a way maker? Come on, how many know he's a miracle worker? He's a way maker. There's nothing that the enemy can do about it. We're standing in a prophetic window. This is a prophetic time for the body of Christ. It's time for you to accelerate your faith. It's time for you to accelerate what God is doing on the earth right now and say, hey, we are the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it. Huh? We're somewhere between our pain and our promise. Right? We're going somewhere. This is not the end. Hey, God's got something great in store for the body of Christ. These are unprecedented times, and there has to be unprecedented faith rise up inside of us. We got to stand up strong and know that God is with us. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. But God was with him, the same God, that everlasting covenant that was with Moses, that was with Joshua, that was with Jesus. It's the same covenant that I carry with the living God. I carry a covenant that he said, I'll bless you, son, coming in and going out. I will bless the hands of your work. I will touch your life, and I will lead you, guide you, and protect you. Don't let the enemy put all that in your head. It's okay to be concerned, but don't let it put you in fear. There is no fear in us. Amen. I can't tell you what tomorrow holds, but I can tell you who holds tomorrow. Huh? I don't know what it's going to look like tomorrow. I don't know what they're going to tell us. They may tell us we can't meet in church next Sunday, but if they do, we'll be online. I'll be standing here preaching, and you'll be watching. Why? Because God's greater than anything. God's more powerful than anything, and we are the church of the living God, and the church will prevail. Amen. The future belongs to those who believe. Those who have an everlasting covenant. Those who are mountain movers. The best days of faith are ahead of us. Amen? It's time for the New Testament church to look like the New Testament church. It's time for us to grab the book of Acts and eat it on a daily basis and say, that's who we are. We're a church of great boldness. We're a church that walks in the power of our God. And we declare healing over every sick person. We declare their freedom and their deliverance. And nobody can stay in bondage when they're with us. Amen. We're making the journey into our promise. Be wise, but don't live in fear. In James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's the peace that we've got to walk in. Walk in the peace of your God. Never give place to fear. And we have to be very careful. Listen to me, church. We have to be very careful that when we see people who are operating in fear, that we're not putting them into guilt. I'm just telling you, it's easy to do. It's easy for me to get the reports of other churches canceling and start going, well, you know, I don't know why they're canceling. We're still having church. No, that's not right. And I have to guard my heart against that. I have to guard my heart against that yesterday you couldn't get into the Catholic church because it was packed and overflowing with people. I have to guard my heart against the Pentecostal church who's staying home in fear. I'm just saying. This is coming from a pastor. And I have to realize people are using wisdom, and it's not, that doesn't mean it's fear. They're using wisdom, they're concerned, and I understand the concern. I have people in my life who are older that I want to protect to make sure they're safe, but I refuse to live in fear over it, and I refuse to allow the enemy to keep them captive and not be able to do life. In Luke 18 and verse 10. Luke 18 and 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "Thank God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector." Like, he even took it personal. Like, he wasn't just throwing out generics up there. He said, I thank you that I'm not like everybody else in the room, but thank God I'm not like Keith. I mean, he just threw people under the bus, like, I thank God I'm not like adulterers and all that, and thank God I'm not like Pastor Tim. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other one who exalts himself. Because he who exalts himself will be humbled. We just have to be careful that when we see people that are living in fear, we're like, "Brother, why are you in such fear? Don't be afraid, you big baby." It's like, no, that's not the spirit of the living God. The spirit of the living God comes and speaks peace. And though they may be in fear, and though they may feel the intimidation of the world and their families all around them, and they've allowed their concern to pull them back a little bit, it's time for us, the body of Christ, just to come alongside them, to look them in the eyes and say, "You're strong in the Lord. You are mighty in God, and the peace of God is with you. And I bless you and your household today. I speak the peace of God over you, the blessing of the Father over you, and I anoint you and pray over you that you are the blessed of the Lord." That's the attitude of the body of Christ. We're not trying to exalt ourselves against somebody else or higher than anybody else. We humble ourselves under the hand of God, and we say, "God, we're going to come through this thing. We're not cowering beneath this thing, but we're going to get through this in Jesus' name." Amen. Listen, there are windows over me, and there are doors in front of me, and the devil has to get behind me. Come on, there's opportunity for the body of Christ. We are the children of the Most High God. We have the joy of the Lord as our strength. We have the peace of God ruling our lives. In Genesis 8 and verse 6, it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Noah opened the window of the ark. Come on, guys, get on your face and open the windows of heaven over your life. Open the windows of heaven over your life and say, "God, I open that portal to heaven. Bring heaven to earth. Flood my house with your peace. Flood my life with your joy." It's our choice. The crown of thorns was placed on his head to give us mental freedom. God's speaking to Noah in Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Miss Gail, if you could come to the keyboard. Listen to me. While the earth remains, it's an everlasting covenant. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, they shall not cease. We're stepping into a new season. We don't know what it looks like tomorrow, but we know who's got us. He's got us in the palm of his hand, and he has the whole world in the palm of his hand. And I'm telling you, there's a power being released on the earth right now. When there's chaos all around us, there's a power being released to the body of Christ. You got to step into the river and say, "You know what? I'm going to step down into the river, and I'm going to let the power of God flow through me. And everywhere I go, wherever I lay my hand, the blessing will follow. The glory will follow." There's a release of the glory on the earth. If you believe that, stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Father, we know who we are. We know our identity in you, Lord. We are not going to allow the enemy to tell us who we are. I'm not going to let the enemy define to me my faith, who I am and what I believe and how God's going to answer. He will show up mightily on the behalf of his praying church. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Come on. Heaven, open up the heavens, God. Pour the cleansing river through this place, Lord Jesus. Pour the cleansing river through this place, Lord. Let healing flow through us, Jesus. Lord, make us all encouragers to everybody around us, Lord. God, don't let us put condemnation on people. The Bible says that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean you have condemnation. That means you don't put any on anybody else. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. Love everybody. Pray hard. Seek his face, not his hand. The heavens are open. The heavens are open. In the name of Jesus. The blessing shall overtake you. Not the curse. Huh? Not the curse. Not the coronavirus. The blessing shall overtake you. The blessing shall overtake your household. God's promises are yes and amen. Yes and amen. I ask everybody to bow your hearts before the Lord right now and let me speak into your heart. If you're here or you're watching online right now, I think some of you have some family in the room right now that is not where they need to be with God. I think some of you in this room right now have some lost loved ones that need to know Jesus. I think there's some that are sitting in this room right now. If you were to die today, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. You know, it's not too long ago, just a few years ago, when we had an 86-year-old man sitting in the congregation just over here on my left. Been going with his wife to church for years and years and years. Been in Collier County all their lives. Been to almost every church in our county. And a few years ago, during an altar call, just like this one, for the first time in his life, he walked down that aisle and gave his life to Jesus. 86 years old. On Monday of this week, I got a phone call from Eric Pate, goes to church here. Him and his wife, Rebecca, are just amazing people. How many have been in Naples for a long time? Remember Pate's Steakhouse? Remember Pate's Steakhouse down near Fifth Avenue down there? There's a steakhouse called Pate's Steakhouse. Eric's dad owned that steakhouse. Eric's dad is now 96 years old, almost 97 years old. And on Monday, Eric called me and said, Pastor, my dad has took a real bad turn for the worse, and they don't think he's going to live. He doesn't know Jesus. My whole life, he's never asked Jesus to come into his heart. He's always anti-church, anti-church. Please pray for my dad. I said, Eric, can I come see him? Can I come see your dad? He said, Pastor, he's not open to the gospel. He can be quite mean. I said, you know what, Eric? What do we got to lose? I mean, if he's adversarial to me, I'm not going to force anything on him. Let's just go. If you don't mind, let me just come. So Monday at 5 o'clock, Eric texted me and said, Pastor, can you come to see my dad? I said, I'll be there. I got in the car. I drove to NCH downtown. Went up to his hospital room. He had a bad respiratory virus. They had him, he had gotten all the way down in the bed and he could barely breathe. And so we got his sheet and pulled him up and he screamed so loud because the pain was so great on his arms. And we slid him over to the bed. Eric said, Dad, it's Eric. I'm here. And his dad's trying to say something. We couldn't understand. He said, Dad, I'm not going to leave you no more. I'm going to stay right here with you. Do you feel better? Is that better? His dad's trying to talk again. And I thought, this is my chance. I just got to go for it. So I came around the other side of the bed, and it got over by Eric, and I leaned over with Eric, and I said, hey, Mr. Pate, I'm Eric's pastor. I'm from Eric's church. Is it okay if I pray for you? And as clear as you and me talking, he said, that would be great. So I took my hands. I had gloves, everything on, face guard, all that stuff. I just ripped that off. I just put my hands on his face. And I said, Mr. Pate, would you pray with me and tell Jesus you love him? At 96 years old, with the last breath in his body, he said, Jesus, love you. Would you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Just ask, say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And he lifted his voice and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. In just a few hours, he went on to be with the Lord. Never ask Jesus to come into his life again. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. And today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no man. We don't know anything about this stupid virus. We don't know what's going on around the world right now. But I know God's greater. And I know you have opportunity because you're here right now. And God's speaking to your heart. And he's asking you to give him your life. Trust him for your future. I'm asking right now, all over this room and all over online right now, if you are in the living room or you are somewhere watching right now and your heart is not where it needs to be, I want you to say with me, Jesus, I love you. Come on, everybody say it. Jesus, I love you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I give you my life. I trust you with my future. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody bow your hearts, just close your eyes right now, just bow your hearts. If you are in this room right now and you made a fresh commitment to the Lord to give Jesus your life, would you just lift your hand and say, that was me? Anybody, just do it now, if that was you. Thank you, thank you. If you're watching online right now, I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord and just acknowledge, I give you my life, God. I trust you with my future, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Could we, before we leave, could we just lift our hands to the Lord and worship God for his word today? He's so good.